Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to show number 305 from Engage for Success. And today we're joined by Siân Jones. Siân is Head of Internal Communications at the Bank of England, and she's here to help us talk over the next half an hour about how the Bank of England has used social media to engage their people, the process they went through to implement it, perhaps some of the challenges that they face along the way, and to share with us some of the sort of tips and techniques and best practice for people who may be thinking of doing something similar. So I'm sure it's going to be an interesting half an hour. So welcome to the show, Siân.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. So thank you for that. So Head of Internal Communications at the bank. But before we get into the specifics of today, can you perhaps just give our listeners a little bit of an overview of your career professionally? Have you always been in internal communication?
No, not at all, actually. I've been in communications most of my working career. Started off as a journalist, worked as in press office, PR, parliamentary affairs. Apart from digital, I think I've done just about every type of communications work that there is. But I only moved into internal comms in 2013, when I became Head of Internal Comms at the Department for Work and Pensions, as a sort of sideways move. So I sort of came into internal communications quite from in the deep end, really, since that time. DWP had over 100,000 staff, very operational workload, workforce, and a challenging role, actually. So I was there in that role for a few years, and then I joined the bank 4 years ago.
Righto, okay. And a kind of curveball question here, Siân, which, having done both jobs, having done external and internal, which is the harder?
In some ways, I think internal communications is harder because when you're communicating externally, generally your audience is quite far removed from you, whereas I get instant feedback, very instant feedback from colleagues walking down the corridor. So sometimes I think internal comms can be very challenging from that perspective, and you have to be quite resilient.
Yes, your audience are right up close and personal, aren't they, standing next to you in the queue for the coffee. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think I was probably a little surprised when we talked about the topic for today's show, and I suspect perhaps some of our listeners will be too, to think about the Bank of England and social media, because it perhaps to me suggests something that, as an organisation, I would perhaps think it would be one of the slower organisations to embrace that channel. So it's going to be really interesting to understand how you've gone about it and why. But before we do that, perhaps just tell us a little bit about the bank in terms of the, you mentioned DWP as, you know, 100,000 employees. Tell us a little bit about the Bank of England's structure and the kind of people that you have there and the kind of culture.
Yeah, sure. The bank has around 4,000, just over 4,000 staff, mainly based in central London, but we do have a couple of offices outside London and a network of agents who work around the country. So quite a varied, actually perhaps a bit more varied group of colleagues than you would might imagine, because obviously we've got very serious, intellectual economists thinking big thoughts about, you know, economic future of the country. But we also have people who work in security. You know, we keep a lot of gold and money here, and they need to be protected. We have a big technology function here because we look after all the systems that everybody relies on to, you know, make contactless payments or pay their mortgage. All that is run out of the bank.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, so okay. The infrastructure that underpins a lot of, you know, the systems that you get from your bank are run by the Bank of England.
Oh,
so okay. We're a massively big organisation for 4,000 strong.
Yes.
But ultimately, our mission is to protect the people of the United Kingdom and the economy. So we also do the big ticket items that you see on the news, like set the interest rates or, you know, make sure that banks are safe and secure in times of crisis. So it's a really interesting organisation. As you say, it is traditional. It's based on very traditional values. But actually, you know, in terms of the way that the bank's thinking about how we work and how we communicate, you know, is trying to be innovative, but also in a way that, you know, protects the bank from risk.
Of course, and that's possibly the question, isn't it, which we'll come on to in a minute. And in terms of the people that work there, demographically, is it a young organisation, or are there a lot of people who've been there for a very, very long time?
Well, it's a bit of both, actually. We do have a lot of people who've been here many, many years, and our longest serving member of staff has been here over 52 years. Yes. But around a third of the people who work here are under 34. We do have a big school leaver and graduate entrant population. So we, you know, one of the challenges for us really is to make sure that our communications in terms of our channels and our content can reach as many of that quite varied workforce as possible.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can understand that. Now, you mentioned the word risk, and it wasn't so much risk in the context of social media, but it kind of triggers some thought in my mind, which is certainly some of the conversations that I've had with financial services companies, not just banks, but financial services companies particularly, although many organisations do worry about this too, is that using social media channels internally can be risky. And I just wonder whether that was something you came up against, and we can talk a little bit more about how you perhaps, if, you know, if you did come up against that, how we overcame it in a minute. But was that something that was always in your mind when you embarked on this exercise?
I think, to be honest, I'll talk a little bit about the sort of, you know, the genesis of social media in the bank. But actually, you know, considering what a traditional organisation we are and how risk-averse we generally are, the barriers put in our way to introducing a social media channel within the bank were very few, actually. And that was because of the way that the project came about, really.
Which leads us beautifully into the question, doesn't it, really? Almost as if we'd rehearsed it, which we haven't. Tell us then, how did this come about? What was the driver for setting out to introduce the social media platform? And tell us the story and some of the things that you had to take into account.
Yes, so sure. So really, I think the important thing about, and I sort of used the wrong word slightly in my previous answer, we deliberately didn't set out to set up Bank Exchange as a social media channel, as a communications channel. It was very much came out of our three-year business strategy, which is called Vision 2020. And that was really about setting, resetting the way we thought about communicating internally and externally in the bank, but also about resetting some of the traditional ways in which we worked. And we identified that one of the big issues for the bank was about cross-bank collaborative working. We really didn't have an easy mechanism for people to come together from different teams or projects or around particular interests or particular policy questions. We didn't really have a platform for people to come together to really share their best practice and expertise. Mm-hmm. And that was what drove what we call Bank Exchange, which is the name of our internal social media. That really mm-hmm. drove the sort of adoption of it. Mm-hmm. We tested the technology for about 9 months mm-hmm. before we formally launched. But really, because it had been knitted into our business strategy and because it was very much rooted in those values and that driver to change the way we worked and collaborated, we actually got much less resistance than I was expecting, and people really, you know, were slightly concerned about the use of Bank Exchange and, you know, mm-hmm. was it going to be respected and respectful, mm-hmm. but very much because we were coming at it from a sort of business and business benefit and collaborative point of view, I think they didn't have as many concerns as they might have done if we launched it purely as a comms channel.
Mm-hmm. I understand, and it's interesting you should say that, because I mean if you think about it, and I know you're a comms specialist yourself, Sian, actually. You know, it should always be that any piece of any comms channel, whatever it is, should always be looked at from the perspective of what will this do in terms of meeting our strategic objectives? What will this, how will this support our business goals, our business purpose, and what it is we're trying to achieve? Rather than, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we did a company newsletter, or oh, wouldn't it be nice if we had an internal social media channel? It ought to be always like that, oughtn't it? But it isn't. It isn't necessarily the case, is it, that's how it works. But it's interesting that that was how you kind of preempted a lot of what might have been concerns, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that the point, I think that's exactly right. And I think one of the things that I would really stress when people are thinking about adopting any sort of, you know, new platform is, what, you know, having a clear purpose. I think often I've heard stories that people have introduced internal social media almost in a sense of, you know, putting it out there and not really being clear about what it's going to be used for. And then mm-hmm. sometimes that can work. And I have heard great stories of people who said, particularly in very operational area organisations, where people have said, oh, actually, that's a really great tool for, you know, shop A to talk to shop B about, you know, customer problems, or, you know, that people have gravitated towards social media. They've found a use for it, and they've really sort of developed their own way of driving the business benefit out of it. But I've heard other stories where people have, you know, launched a social media platform or channel, and nobody can really understand the core purpose of why it's there. And then, you know, then either the conversations can become quite difficult or toxic because people just use them as platforms to sort of share their gripes, or they're just not used at all. So having that real sort of sense of what you want to get out of it and what it's there to do, and having quite a strong, I don't know, sort of governance and accountability for how the platform's going to develop, and having a roadmap to do that, I think is incredibly important.
Mm. Okay, absolutely. No, that makes sense. So what was the sort of timescale for all this, and a kind of a brief overview, if you can, of what that roadmap was, Sian?
Well, actually, it all happened rather quickly because, you know, as often with these things, our leadership team wanted a solution. You know, they felt that, you know, that we'd outlined what we thought the problem was, that there wasn't this sort of platform collaboration. We had something that we were testing with a very small part of the bank, actually, our fintech team, who had been using the particular platform, technological platform that we decided to go with. And basically, over the period of about 3 to 4 months, we basically stood that up with working really closely with our technology team. We expanded the amount of users that could use that platform. And between sort of in 3 to 4 month period, we really sort of put the infrastructure in place. And then in May 2017, when we launched the strategy, we launched Bank Exchange as a sort of core element of that.
We launched it.
We had, it's a community-based platform. So you join communities, you set up and join communities. At that point, we had two communities. We had the existing FinTech pilot, and we had a community that was literally just based around our strategy, so Vision 2020 community. So we started really small, and then we opened up the platform for other people across the organisation to suggest their own communities and start to establish those. So that's how we did it. We sort of started small, we piloted, then we stood something up very quickly when we had to, particularly our technology team, and then we sort of started to sort of take the shackles off, if you like, and encourage other people to use the platform and set up their own communities.
Yes, yes. And how, I mean, it's interesting. So the first one was a pilot, and then the community, which was very clearly grounded in that vision, because it was called Vision 2020. And then when you started to ask, let other people suggest their own, what kinds, have the communities that have been suggested, are they always very, very business-based, collaborative, working-based, or have they also become a little bit more social and sports and that kind of thing at all?
So when we started off, and I'm part of the small group that it helps to support the governance of the community focus. So if you want a community in the bank, you put in a request, and then a small group of us, between which is comms, technology, and information management, so representatives, come together every Thursday for a quick meeting where we approve or reject community ideas. And when we started, we thought, we were very purist about it, and we thought, no, they've always got to be, you know, business related. They've got to, you know, we had some, not a huge amount of rules around it, loads of rules around it, but we had some parameters that we set down for the sort of communities we were going to approve. And that was because we weren't doing that just to be, you know, bureaucratic, but actually we'd used sort of collaborative tools and platforms before, and so many people had set up groups that nobody could find anything anymore, and it all got terribly messy and out of hand. So we wanted to put some structure around it so people could actually still find what they were looking for online and on the platform. So that's why we went down that route. Over time, we have loosened our parameters a little bit, because actually what we found was, in an organisation where we have got an older, you know, quite a lot of people who are not digital natives, we have got quite a lot of rules and strictures about what we can do on external social media as bank employees. And we have a culture where we are still quite, it's quite an introverted organisation in many ways, and people did feel a little bit reticent about sharing, you know, their views on important business issues in a very public way. So we did start to allow people to set up more social-focused communities, like gardening or pets or, you know, water sports, or just thinking outdoor pursuits, rock climbing, because we felt that that was a really good opportunity for people to almost, it was like a safe space for people to practice their online social media skills,
yes.
if you like.
Yes, absolutely.
What we found is that once people have confidence to share online about non-risky subjects, if you like, that gives them the more confidence to participate in the more business-related communities as well. So one of the things that I would say to people is, you know, people do need safe spaces to practice these sorts of skills and have those discussions internally, particularly in an organisation like ours where people don't necessarily have, you know, a lot of our people don't use external social media. So they haven't really got into the sort of habit of transacting and chatting in that sort of more informal way online.
Yes. No, I can understand that. So did you, that's really interesting. I like that idea of a safe place to practice. That's really interesting. So what were there any other real lessons that you think you've learned as a result of going down this path that's quite interesting, because those are both quite insightful experiences, Sian.
Yeah, I think, you know, we started off with, as I said, two communities. We now have 237 communities online. On Bank Exchange. So,
right.
you know,
okay.
from that perspective, you know, it's been, that's in a 2-year period. From that, in that perspective, it's been very successful. Not all of those communities are as active as others.
No.
But, you know, in the end, you have to.
That, really, would you?
Exactly, and some people, you know, in the rush of enthusiasm, set communities up and then didn't really have a clear idea what they wanted to do with them. So I think when you're setting, you know, if you're doing something like this, again, you know, it's about content and making sure that if you are doing not just a sort of social media platform, but content is king in these things. And, you know, even for particular communities, they really needed to, the people that really had a clear purpose and knew what sort of content they wanted to share really, you know, went with it and flew. Others just haven't exploited it in any meaningful way. And that's fine, you know, we're all for quick wins, but we're up for fast fails as well. And if it didn't work for them, that's absolutely fine. So I think that I think, you know, we've had success in communities. We've got some really great active communities. Our data community, for example, nearly 1,000 members. So that's nearly a quarter of the bank, and, you know, so active. They share loads of information, best practice, but they also do a lot of face-to-face events. So it's a real mixture of sharing content online, but also, you know, coming together to reinforce that collaboration in a face-to-face way as
That's
well.
That's interesting. So the social media platform has acted as a springboard, as a virtual, the virtual community online has acted as a springboard to then people to then move on and interact in a what I call human way, you know, an actual real physical way. How interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So not instead of, but as a platform for that. That's fascinating.
Absolutely. And I think the best communities are the ones where you have that interaction, level of interaction, that different, you know, being able to utilize an online space, but as a starting point for a whole range of different communication as well, including and particularly face-to-face. We have, over the 2 years that we've been in operation on Bank Exchange, we've now reached about 34% of colleagues across the bank being what we call active users. And active users means that you interact with the platform at least once a month, probably broadly speaking, our regular users interact a lot more with that. So that's about a, you know, we've hit a third of the bank that are regular users. We have a lot of people who, you know, dip in and out or lurk. Everybody's accepted the condition, so everybody's signed up, but we still have a bit of a way to go in terms of encouraging people who don't interact or regularly interact with Bank Exchange at the moment to see the value and purpose in it. And we won't be able to do that for everybody, because it won't have a value and purpose for absolutely everybody in the bank. We know that. But I think we probably, if we got to, you know, around 45 to 50% of our people being regular users, that would feel like, really feel like success to us. I think we're very sort of happy with the trajectory we're on at the moment, but I think, you know, ultimately that's like where we'd like to be in, say, this time next year.
Yeah, and how visible are the kind of senior leaders on the platform? Is that something that you see, or does that not happen?
So it is mixed, but luckily our very senior leader, our governor, is a massive advocate of Bank Exchange.
About
a year ago, we set up a community just for our governors to be able to post interesting stuff about what they were doing. So, you know, if the governor's been at a G20 summit, or, you know, he's done an interesting speech on climate change, he'll post probably about once a fortnight. Actually, his last post was about having, we're going to have a beehive in our in just outside his office window, actually, in our courtyard. So, you know, he's actually moving towards talking about more light-hearted things, not just about bees, not just about sort of economy or Brexit.
Which
is really nice. But he's been a massive advocate and supporter of Bank Exchange, and I think really does feel that it's been a cultural shift in the organisation. And many of our other senior leaders have really embraced it. Not all of them. Some of them don't. Again, they don't necessarily either see the business benefit of it for them, or, you know, they might feel uncomfortable. But I think more and more of them are actually now gravitating towards using Bank Exchange, because they can see that, you know, it is a collaborative tool, but it also is a tool for engagement as well, because they get, you know, often our senior leaders are very busy, they travel a lot, you know, they're not always massively visible to staff day in, day out, and Bank Exchange actually is a way that they can be visible without actually necessarily being in the building, or having to sort of, being in eye line of staff.
Of course. And also that really does give permission, in inverted commas, for other people to say, well, if they're using this and they're on there, then this is, it kind of says it's all right, doesn't it? So that helps.
Particularly in a hierarchical organisation like the bank, and we are, you know, that sort of senior permission is very important when you're trying to land change.
Yeah. Now, we've only got a minute left, Sian. I told you it would fly by, and it has. We've got very little time now. We haven't even talked about digital ninjas. So can you talk about digital ninjas in 20 seconds, or is that going to have to come back for, are we going to have to come back for another show?
I'd love to tell you about digital ninjas. Basically, there are a community of social media activists across the organisation who support digital change, including Bank Exchange. But they're very much something that I'd love to come talk about again. Our other advocacy groups across the bank as well.
Okay, well, let's get you signed up for that for another time, because we've really run out of time. So in the sort of 20 seconds that remain now, if there was one key piece of advice to people thinking of going down this route, what would it be, Sian?
Be patient in terms of, you know, building up your numbers and your mm-hmm. your usage. It won't happen overnight, and create those safe spaces for people to practice their skills.
Lovely. Thank you. It's been really fascinating. We'll book you in on Digital Ninjas in due course. And thank you very much for joining us, Sian. And thank you, everybody, for listening. So it just remains for me to say goodbye. So goodbye and thank you.
Goodbye.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.